A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettist with you this morning. We are taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, our next listener is asking, is now a good time for applying chelate iron to trees affected by iron chlorosis?
It's fine in the next couple of weeks, yes. With the rain and snow that we're getting, it will flush it in. Now, it used to be that we would drill holes into the lawn or dig small holes and put little bits of iron in each hole. And the latest recommendations coming from our urban forester, Dr. Mike Coons, is saying to mix the product in 5-gallon buckets of water and just slowly pour it under the canopy of the tree. The products will have how much to use according to the width of the trunk. And go ahead and get those down and then try to take advantage of rain and snow to flush that iron into the soil.
All right, Steph.
I should add really quick that it doesn't hurt to use a small amount of nitrogen with it. It may help with uptake. And, that was the only other thing I was going to add to it. And so you can find some just like almost just like not houseplant fertilizer, but an outdoor starter fertilizer that has some nitrogen in it or a liquid fertilizer, that would be fine. Or you could just get some lawn fertilizer as long as it doesn't have weed and feed and just put, depending on the width of the trunk, you would want to use anywhere from a half of a cup for a smaller tree to maybe 2 or 3 cups for a large tree and then just spread it the best you can under the canopy.
All right. Our next caller is Stephanie in Ogden. Good morning, Stephanie. What is your question?
Good morning. My question is about a peach tree that we have on, it's going on its way out, and we want to replace that and are wondering if we can replant a peach tree in that same spot or if we need to wait a year or two.
Well, you probably can and you'll be fine. It's not ideal just because sometimes you'll get a buildup of things like peach tree borer or just other diseases and things. And so it is good to wait a year. Even if you put a peach tree somewhere in the general vicinity, that would be okay. But I wouldn't recommend digging the stump out and just dropping a new peach tree right back in if you can avoid it.
Okay. Would it be best to replant maybe next to it? We don't have a whole lot of room in the same area.
So if you scooched over a few feet, that would be fine. And what you would need to do is just make sure you keep up on your pest control. So on those peaches, the major insect problem we have is greater peach tree borer. And it will get into the trunk of the tree right at the base. And then if you don't treat for it, the tree will usually only last anywhere from 7 to 10 years, and then it is out. So if you wanted to control it organically, you can use a product, something like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And you would spray that about once a week from mid-June to mid-September. Or you could use something like permethrin that you would just spray the trunk and the ground around the base of the trunk and lower limbs once a month. But it's critical. If you want a peach tree that's going to last 20 or 25 years, that's the most critical thing to do as far as pest control.
Thank you.
So, yep.
All right, Stephanie, thanks for your call. We're going to stay with the phone lines. Joe from Springville has a question about peach tree borers as well. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What was your question?
I think you guys just answered my question.
Okay.
I have the same problem. I have a Alberta peach tree that I bought 3 years ago. The trunk is about 2.5-3 inches. And I noticed while working in the garden yesterday that I had a bunch of sap oozing out by the graft line, and I started peeling, maybe inch and a half pieces off around there and seeing what looked like sappy stuff. So it sounds like I may have the same problem.
I think so.
Greater peach tree borer.
Yeah, they will come out on their own as they turn into adults. And now that your tree is injured, it's going to be critical that you treat, because an injured tree puts out certain chemicals that's detectable to the borer, and then they also may put out pheromones attracting others in. And so what I would recommend doing is probably either using carbaryl or permethrin, and you just soak that trunk, the lower limbs, and the base of the tree once a month, and that should keep them out in the future. And if you can do that and the tree's relatively healthy, over a period of a couple of years, it will recover.
Okay, where do I get this at?
Any farm store or garden center. I apologize, I cut you off. You're in Springville, you said?
Yes.
Steve Regan or IFA, you've got IFA in Provo in Spanish, and then you also have Steve Regan in Spanish. If you want to go a little farther north, Cook's or Linden Nursery, both would have them.
Cook's is where I got the tree.
Okay. Yeah, and the Cook's actually has probably the most extensive pest and disease control section of any nursery in the county. But any place that sells trees and things, any farm store will, what I'm recommending is pretty basic and most of them should have it.
And you said to treat it
early June. Early June, monthly through mid-September. So early to mid-June is your first application, and then you do it monthly into mid-September. And it's either 7, which is now sold oftentimes as carbaryl, C-A-R-B-A-R-Y-L, or permethrin. And that's P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N.
You said that's normally like the 7, the S-E-V-I-N.
Well, 7 has been selling as a brand now, and they've got lots of stuff sold under the 7 brand. So that's why you have to make sure you get carbaryl. And just in my humble opinion, it's one of the stupidest things they've done, because it creates so much opportunity for error. You know, people, oh, 7, I need to use that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they've sprayed something off label because of a well-known pesticide they turned into a brand. You know, it'd be like 7-Up all of a sudden deciding to sell beer. You know, 7-Up beer, you know, and it's just, there's some things you shouldn't do. Roundup has done that a couple times, and it just, when they do that, within a couple of years, they usually draw back. But it's just a really unfortunate thing, because I do see a potential for a lot of bad to come out of it.
All right, Joe, okay. Thank you.
Is there anything I could do for it right now?
Nope. Be patient. Once it's in, it needs to, because you oftentimes do more damage trying to get them out than it would be with them emerging on their own.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Joe, thanks for your call this morning. Before we take a break, I want to get to one of our other questions. Tom, this person wants to know, what type of grass does best in the shade? They have a backyard that is shady and the grass isn't great.
It depends on the amount of shade. You know, if the Kentucky bluegrass is fading out, they could try something along the lines of Chewing's Red Fescue or Creeping Red Fescue. Those are the last ditch lawn grasses, and if they don't take and stay for more than a year or two, there's too much shade, and they're either going to need to go to a plan B on their landscaping or somehow limb up trees a little bit to get more sunlight in there.
All right, and the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow the letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. One of our texters is asking, Ton, we were talking about the peach borer, and this person's interested in the beneficial nematodes treatment and wondering if you have any info on that and if it works here in Utah.
Al, our environment here is a little harsh for nematodes sometimes unless they're in the soil. And where these greater peach tree borer are oftentimes laying eggs above the soil surface, it's a little harder to get to it. I did look up one company selling organic products, which I won't bring it out on air, but their website was just full of blatant falsehoods about controlling them, saying that dormant oils will help and just some other things. And you've got to be careful out there. And so it's one that USU hasn't really recommended. And if they're wanting, the only thing I've really got that's more organic is something like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew or other spinosad containing products, but they have to be sprayed every week to maybe 10 days instead of monthly.
All right. Our next listener says, how much compost do I need to put down for clay soil where I plan to plant vegetable gardens, lawn, and fruit trees? And they're wondering if compost is made from wastewater byproducts, and is that a safe, good option?
Well, it's wastewater byproducts. I don't know where they've been reading.
Yeah.
So compost is made from organic matter, usually tree bark, ground up tree limbs, or if you're making your own, newspaper, vegetables, anything that was growing in your yard, either as lawn or, you know, or people send a green waste, that's usually what compost is made of. Now, sometimes it has animal products, like there's several composts available, such as NutriMulch, that are good products. And so if you are referring to biosolids, then those composts are generally not recommended for the garden areas, like vegetable gardens, but are fine to use for lawns and other areas. And so the biosolids would be treated sewage. I don't know how else to put that, but they're tested so much. They're actually more regulated and tested than compost that you might get from others. And so if you are not squeamish about it, you can use biosolids in your soil to establish your lawn and flower beds. Now, the one thing I do tell people to be cautious about is that they sometimes, any compost, especially if they have animal products, can sometimes be a little salty. And so if they're going to do that, my recommendation is in the fall or spring, and then they're going to water it several times and give it 3 or 4 weeks to kind of mellow out and break down a little bit before they plant.
All right.
If they use a plant-based compost, something like Soil Pep or Soil Prep, or there's a number of them out there, then those, you, as long as you don't overdo it, and just a couple inches mixed in 6 inches deep into the soil is fine.
But then for the vegetable garden, what would you recommend?
The biosolids, the general recommendation is to stay away from them in your garden. But a lot of green waste facilities still sell really good compost. Garden centers have good compost too. And so any plant-based compost from a green waste facility or a garden center would be fine. Put it in, apply a layer 1 to 2 inches deep, and then till it in 4 inches to 6 inches deep, and then you can go ahead and plant. I like to give it a couple of weeks to kind of just settle. So if I want to plant my garden, say in mid-May, then I would try to get my compost in sometime in mid to late April.
Okay, we have just a couple of minutes, Ton, before the top of the hour break, but I want to squeeze in Robert here in Midway. Good morning, Robert. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I have a section in the yard where I have some red raspberries, black raspberry, and some thornless boysenberry. The raspberries do well every year, but the boysenberry, I have yet over several years to have it really produce. What happens is it grows well. The foliage is good, green. I don't see any sign of bugs. Or other.
I actually know what's going on, and due to just our getting short on time, boysenberry is something grown in the Pacific Northwest, and it's only hardy down to about 15 degrees. So it's getting winter damaged, and the new foliage comes out, looks beautiful, and then gets damaged. And so what I would recommend doing, let the new growth come out and let it grow along the ground. And then cover it with some straw or some frost blankets over the winter. Next year, in the spring, late March, early April, you can lift that off the ground, the growth that's now 1 year old, and trellis it. And you may get some boysenberries then, but it's winter killing is what's happening.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Right. Robert, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if an Arbequina olive tree will survive on the sandy east bench.
Nope.
Okay.
That was easy enough. No, it's when you have olive trees here, they are indoor plants. In St. George, it would do fine, or Las Vegas, but it is one that's only hardy down to 15 or 20 degrees, maybe 10 for some of the varieties. And so olive trees are something purely you could put it out in the summer, but it's got to come inside in the winter.
All right. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, our feature at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about pruning roses. And so you want to stay with us for more on that. And also check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page to find out more about the plant of the week, which was the Carol Mackey Daphne. We will be back with more of your calls and questions. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.